All right, lectionary lunch. We are recording. Glad to see everybody here because we have a couple of great texts. I think this is the Old Testament lesson for the third Sunday in Advent, right? The Sunday of joy. And we have two, you know, the Gospel and the Old Testament kind of mesh perfectly here. It's one of those nice occasions. So the Old Testament lesson is from Isaiah 35, the first 10 verses. Actually, a beautiful text, you know. Chapters 34 and 35 form a kind of antithetical pair in that they both take this, invite us to take this eschatological view of this day, which is going to be both judgment and salvation. So chapter 34 is a chapter that talks about the destruction, the judgment of foreign nations, particularly Edom, who becomes kind of a type of those who are opposed to God, followed by chapter 35, which is, of course, this great chapter of salvation for God's people. A lot of people think that Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, should actually be divided at chapter 33, so that chapters 34 and 35 start to form a transition to the second part of the book. And certainly the emphasis in chapter 35, which we will see on the way, dovetails nicely with what we see in like chapter 40 of Isaiah. Notice traditionally the book is divided at chapters 39 and then 40. But more and more they're seeing that this is kind of a transitional chapter. These chapters are transitional at least. So our text actually takes us through 10 verses here. So we'll see what we can. There's a number of interesting features that we have to deal with and some difficulties that we won't be able to solve, but we'll do the best we can with those. We start with verse 1 then of chapter 35. Yesusumid bar vetziya. That Yesusun is from the root sus, and it's an imperfect, and it means to rejoice. And notice, I'm going to translate it with adjusive force. It comes at the beginning of the utterance here, and so and notice the shortening in the second colon as well. So it's and the subject is Midbar Vetziyah. So let the desert and the Tziya, and another word for desert, let the desert and the dry ground, let them rejoice. Now notice that at the end of the verb you have a mem there, and that's handled in a number of different ways, and I'm going to suggest one way that I find most attractive. A lot of people think it's simply ditography from the midbar that follows, and so you just delete it. At least one commentary makes the case that it refers back to chapter 34, the people in 34, which is a little more difficult to take, but not impossible. Others suggest that it's an enclitic nun, a paragogic nun, that has been assimilated to a mem. Again, possible, all right, but not very satisfying. I would suggest we take it as the plural suffix, them. Okay, so let the desert and the tziya, the dry ground, rejoice in them. Who the them refers to is held from us until the end of the chapter. So there's kind of a denouement at the end. And I think that that's attractive because of what's going to come up in a couple other places where you have pronouns and you're wondering what they refer to, and it solves a special problem when we get to verse 8. So for now, we'll just translate it like that. Let the desert and dry ground rejoice in them, or over them. All right. Remember, suffixes with intransitive verbs can have that kind of meaning. They're not always kind of direct objects. Okay. So the next colon, vetagel arava vetifrach kachavatzalat. And the first verb is the hollow one again from gil, to rejoice. Again, a call imperfect. Let the arava, again the steppe region, let it exult. And tifrach, let it blossom as the chavatzalet, as a rose. All right. Verse 2, parach tifrach v'tagel af gilat veranein. You guys all notice the construction at the beginning of verse 2. You have an infinitive absolute, call infinitive absolute, followed by the finite verb of the same root. Again, it means to blossom. What is the force of the infinitive absolute? Most translations suggest that it functions kind of in an adverbial sense, to intensify the idea expressed by the main verb. So they will translate something like this. It will blossom abundantly or profusely. But it could also exert its force on the illocutionary force of it. In other words, a strong affirmation of the truth of what he says. It will certainly blossom. So again, what the force of the infinitive absolute is debatable. All right? In different contexts, different ones seem to fit. So you'll see kind of both those. It will certainly blossom, and it will rejoice, tagel, Again, usually before something surprising or unexpected. So yes, or indeed, gilat veranein. It will rejoice with gilat, joy and ranein, with joy and shouts of joy, shouting of joy. The gilat, there's a noun, gila, feminine noun, and this looks like it's in construct. But notice what's unusual about it, if it's in construct, is that it's followed by a vav, with the ranein is just a PL infinitive construct. Okay. Now, there's a couple other places in Isaiah that happens to with the word chokma. You have chokmat followed by a vav, like three other places. So that's possible, but it's also possible that this is simply a feminine noun. An archaic feminine noun was spelled with a T ending rather than a He ending. Actually, in other dialects, especially Phoenician and Moabite, which are dialects that are in the same family as Hebrew, have that ending commonly. So this may simply just be a feminine noun with that they're using that ending for whatever reason. So yes, or indeed, it will exult with. Take these two words as kind of adjuncts with joy and rejoicing. Okay. So notice the grammar is kind of hard there, but again, this is not that unusual for poetic texts, especially something like this. In the next line, Kivod HaLevanon Nitan La, the glory of Lebanon, of course a very fertile area, will be given to it. This is a Nifal perfect from Natan, and notice it is perfect, but since the situation is referring to the future, we translate it as future tense, and again, that's not that uncommon in prophecy to have that. I think that you'll see this all over the Hebrew Bible, but especially in poetry. So we'll be given to it, Hadar, the splendor of Carmel, the Hasharon. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon, again, supply the verb, will be given to it. Okay. Now here you have the second pronoun, Hema. Hema yiru kevod Yahweh Hadar Eloheinu. They will see the glory of the Lord. Now, it's possible that the they refers back to the terms in verse 1, the midbar and the tziyah and the arava. Okay? But I'm going to make a case that the they is going to refer to what follows. So you have this kind of who's the they holding back, which, again, is well within what you see in this kind of a text. So they will see, this is from Ra'ah, they will see the glory of the Lord, Hadar Eloheinu, the splendor of our God. All right. Verse 3. Chazku yadaim rafot uvirkaim koshlot ametsu. Chazku, piel imperative from chazak. Chazak means to be strong in the call. Here it would mean to make strong or strengthen yadaim rafot, hands, weak ones. Okay. Hands weak. So strengthen weak hands and birkaim. Notice the dual plural, the dual endings on both birkaim and yadaim. And knees, koshlot, wobbly knees. This is just a simple call participle from kashal, feminine plural. And wobbly knees, ametsu. Again, that's a synonym with chatsu, another PL imperative. So strengthen again or fortify wobbly knees or shaky knees. All right. Another imperative in verse 4. Imru le nimhare lev chizku al tira'u hine Elohekem nakam yavov. Okay, speak to the nimhare lev. The root is mahar. It means to hasten. Notice that this is a nifal participle masculine plural in construct. And it's used, notice that the substantive features of the participle come out, so it's referring to people. So those who are hurried of heart, we would probably say anxious-hearted. Speak to the hurried of heart, to those who are anxious of heart or in heart, anxious-hearted. Chizku, here's the call imperative. Be strong, al tira'u. Do not fear. This is a call in perfect from Yahweh. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. Hine Elohei Kem, look, your God. Nakam Yavo. All right, here notice with the Nakam Yavo, Nakam means vengeance. And that could be the subject of Yavo. Translate, vengeance is coming. Or vengeance will come. But it could also be that Yahweh is the subject of the verb, and Nakam is again one of these adverbial accusative. Behold your God, he is coming with vengeance. You'll see, I think, translated either way. Gemu Elohim, the recompense of God. Hu Yavo Veyosha'akem. He is going to come and he will save you. Notice the form that the last word is from Yasha. It is a hifil imperfect. Third masculine singular plus the suffix at the end. The pointing is very unusual. The patak under the shin should be a hirik because it should be Yoshia for the hifil. But instead you have the patak. Notice that the Masoretes even have a little note at the side that there's no other time that you see this form. And it's just an unusual form, and the grammars can't really go beyond that. Some suggest that it might be a jussive form, but I don't know if that's even true or not. Okay, it's just an unusual pointing for it. Okay, verse 5. Az tipakachna eine ivrim. Then. Notice the then seems to have a kind of a prominence here, namely at that time, or at the time I'm talking about. Tipakachna eine ivrim. The eyes of the blind will be opened. That's a nifal imperfect third feminine plural from pakach. All right. This is the customary word when eyes and ears need to be opened. Pakach. All right. You learned the other word patach, to open. So then the eyes of the blind will be opened. Ve'oznei gershim tipakachna, and the ears of the cheresh, the deaf, will be opened. Then, yedaleg ha'ayel piseach. Then, yedaleg is a word that means to leap or to jump. Piel imperfect from dalad. Then the piseach, then the lame will leap ka'ayel, as a deer. Vetaron lashon ilame, and the tongue of the ilame, the tongue of the mute, vetaron will rejoice. This is the call imperfect from Ranan. Notice in verse 2, you had the infinitive construct of Ranan that was a piel. Here you have the call, Taron. Alright? Then the tongue of the mute will rejoice. Ki nivke'u b'midbar maim. For, in the desert maim, water will nivke'u. Water will burst forth. This is from the root baka. In the call, it means to cut or to cleave, like you cut wood. Nifal, now it's intransitive. So this is a nifal perfect. So it's not passive, it's intransitive. Water in the desert will burst forth. So water will burst out in the desert. Unechalim ba'arava, and streams in the dry places again, in the Araba, in the steppe region. Alright. Vehaya ha'sharav la'agam, and the sharav, the scorched land, again that's a very rare word, I think it may be only used here, the scorched, the parched ground, will become, notice vehaya plus lamed, will become an agam, will become a pool. Vetzima'on le'mabu'ei mine. And thirsty ground, again you see the thirsty ground from Tzama to be thirsty. And thirsty ground will become Mabue, springs of mine, springs of water. Okay? The next line in verse 7, Bin ve tanim ripza, in a habitation of jackals. Tanim is jackals. And remember, jackals usually take over when humans leave. All right. So notice throughout this section we're seeing this great reversal. So in a haunt of jackals, ripza, in the Masoretic text, notice it's her resting place. That's a difficulty because we don't know what her would refer to. And so notice there's a textual note with verse 7a, if you guys just kind of look there. Qumran has ravatz, so that could be a noun, ravatz. In the haunt of jackals, there will be a resting place. Or some manuscripts just have a feminine noun there, ribza, without the mafik in the hay. So in a dwelling of jackals will be a resting place. That's how most translators take it. Okay. Chatzir lakana vagome. Chatzir is grass, but a lot of people, since it's translated as an enclosure or an abode in chapter 34, take it as parallel with nave. An enclosure or an abode with the lamed, with the kana is cane, like cattails, and goma, papyrus. So notice that those grow near water again. So you could take the katsir like that, but you could also take it these as three different terms for grass. Grass, specifically that of kana and goma, something like that, or kind of three different kinds of grasses to indicate the luxuriousness of what was once an abode of jackals will be a resting place for all kinds of wildlife. Okay? Verse 8, we get now to the last kind of part of this text. Vehaya sham maslul vaderek. And there will be there a maslul. This is the only place this term occurs, a highway. The normal term for highway is mesila. Here's masul. And vaderek, and a way. So maybe the Vaderek kind of explains the rare word maslul. There will be there a highway, that is a road, okay? Vaderek HaKadosh Yikarei La. And the way of holiness, it will be called to her. Notice that Yikarei is a nifal imperfect. So something like, it will be called, in better English, the holy way, okay, or the holy highway. Lo ya'av renu tameh, not will avar, not will pass over it tameh, an unclean person. An unclean person will not pass over it. Now here's where the third pronoun comes, lamo. That is, again, used only in poetry and prophecy, a third masculine plural suffix. And so you have to translate, and it will be for them. See, it will be for them. And again, we don't know who the them is. We're getting closer though now. Will be for them. Holek Derek. Again, it's a walker of the way, normally thought of as a traveler. So the question is, how does this relate to the rest of the verse? And you could supply the asher. It will be for those, namely, a traveler on the way. Okay, it's a little awkward because you go from plural to singular. Alright? So, if you translate it as, and understand it as Holek Vaderek as a traveler, as referring to the them there. See? So they will not cross over an unclean person, but it will be for them. Okay? Travelers on the way. A traveler on the way. Ve Evilim, that's the word for fools. But fools, lo yitu. Notice the line goes up on top because there's not enough room in the text. But fools, not yitu, will not wander there. That's from the root ta'a. It means to wander. So fools will not wander. And you have to kind of supply on it. Lo yihyeh sham aryeh. Not will there be there an aryeh, a lion. U peritz chayot bal ya'alenu. Peritz is a ferocious one. So the ferocious of the chayot, of the wild animals. So a ferocious animal, not ya'aleh, will not go up on it. That's a call imperfect from Allah with a third feminine suffix again. referring to the highway. Lo timatzeh, not will be found sham, there. Again, the subject is the paritz. So the ferocious animal, the wild animal, not will be found there. Now here we go with the, finally we get to who the them is. Ve'haklu ge'ulim, but the redeemed will walk. Okay, that's from Ga'al, a call passive participle. The redeemed will walk on it. Hu peduye Yahweh yeshuvun. Notice we have the two words for redeemed, Ga'al and Pada. This peduye is again a call passive participle. The third hey verb, the yud, returns. And it's in construct. The redeemed of the Lord. The Lord's redeemed, yeshuvun, will return from shuv. Uva'utziyon berina. And they will come to Zion. Notice the theme that connects with chapter 2 with the pilgrimage to Zion. And they will come to Zion berina with a ringing cry. Vesimchat olam. And with joy of the age. With eternal joy. Al rosham. On their head. A lot of translations as a crown. Okay? Sason v'simcha yasigu. Joy and rejoicing will overtake. That's from Nasag, a Hiphil. The word only occurs in the Hiphil, actually. So this is a Hiphil from Nasag. Joy and rejoicing will overtake them. Okay? V'nasu yagon va'anacha. And Yagon, sorrow and anaka, groaning, will flee. This is from Noos. Alright. So again, a tremendous text, and Jeff, I'm sure, is going to talk about it more, but the connections with the New Testament, Jesus invites us to see in His ministry the fulfillment of this prophecy. Notice that the return from exile, in a sense, is pictured in this way, great hope and expectation, yet it didn't meet the expectation. Jesus invites us to see it, and it makes a great picture of what's going to happen at the end of time as well. And so we have, you know, Isaiah talking about the return in terms of the Exodus, and yet the language is so big, we look for something else, which Christ says happened in Him and His kingdom. And now, you know, that reality is ours, and of course we wait for it at the end of time. So of course, preaching on this text in connection with the Matthew one is pure pleasure, and I don't think you want to pass it up. So I'm going to pass it on to Jeff here and let him kind of expound on that more.